hope, peace, and joy. We have celebrated these three themes in our Advent waiting. What is it that you are waiting for? Where is your desire and longing? Does it feel matched by these words and ideas of hope, peace, and joy? Or does it seem hard to hope? Peace feels elusive, and joy is something we grasp at like trying to hold on to smoke. In a time where our country is faced with upheaval and divisions, these concepts seem hard. People across the country face evictions from their homes and have lost their jobs. Unemployment payments are running out. COVID rips through prisons, and there is nowhere to run when you are trapped in a cell breathing the same infected air as the cells around you. Vaccines are going to be available, but who will get them first, and who will resist them? There are hearts breaking with grief, the pain of repeated and continuing loss. We need to hear that God is sending one to proclaim good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, and release from darkness for those prisoners. We cry out in our Advent longing, "Come, O Lord, come." The advertisements I see and hear tell me that this is a season that should be marked by joy. The people who would have heard this Isaiah passage first might have felt a similar dissonance that we might feel today. Overall, life has not been great for God's people up to the point of our reading here in Isaiah 61. The injustice and idolatry in the kingdom of Judah led to the destruction of the city and the temple, and then to forced relocation of the people to a land not their own. The people waited for release and return to their homeland, but even when that happened, the city, the temple, and the land were still in ruins. They were back in the promised land, but their post-exilic life isn't living up to everything they'd hoped it would be. We hear this promise in the text. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Verse 4. But the hard truth is that the end of exile doesn't mean happily ever after. Make the promised land great again just wasn't cutting it. There was no going back to what was, only forward into what will be. Yet some of what led to exile, in their theological understanding of it, was not doing justice or caring for the least of these, and that injustice still existed. As they would have heard Isaiah's words, they would have been wrestling with this hope for a promise that was not yet a reality. In the same way that emancipation did not end slavery, that the civil rights movement did not end segregation, and that 8 years of a black president didn't end racism. We are still struggling with these things. There is not a switch flipped, and it was the same with those coming out of exile. Do we feel like we are in exile this year, cut off from one another and separated? We long with the exiles to go back to what was our shiny life before March 2020. But we can't go back, only forward. Our difficulties didn't begin with the COVID virus. It didn't begin our times of trouble. Economic disparity, educational divides, mental health issues didn't start with the pandemic. They were there before, but now they are magnified and brought to the forefront. And a vaccine won't fix all of this. Isaiah's prophecy that Jesus stands up and reads is one of present joy with the hope of a coming peace. This is a vision of a great reversal of outcomes and a grand reset. Those who are oppressed go free. Those who are brokenhearted are healed. Those who are captives and prisoners are released. And those who are blind are given sight. Like many of you, I work a lot on my computer right now. As I close the lid of my laptop, it puts it to sleep, but it doesn't shut it down. About once a week, I find that things start to get glitchy. I can't get sound to work on Zoom, or some of my keyboard command functions just stop working. I remember that I have to shut the whole thing down, step away from my computer for a while, and then restart it all. When I turn it back on again, things seem to right themselves, fixing their little bugs. We see in the words of Isaiah a God of justice who will right the systems, a God who will do a hard reset, which I know I long for and we need. Before we get too caught up in how beautiful and lofty these words sound and get misty-eyed about this world to come, it's important to think about what is not being said here. This is not about me and I, not an individualized salvation, but communal. Society's writings of all wrongs. This is not getting joy from a personalized happiness or the glitz and glitter of a pretty manger scene, but true comfort to those who were wrong, marginalized, and caught in cycles of poverty and violence. This is good news. The Spirit of God comes to initiate a repair of society from the inside out, from the bottom rung to the top. And the ones called to partner in the rebuilding are those who have suffered in the former regime, economically, judicially, physically, and spiritually. The renewing of cities is a picture of a new community and economy. This is a vision of foreigners as a vital part of us, and not only there to work for us or to be abolished from the land. The outsider is included not cast out. God is calling us away from exploitation and into justice. Verse 8, "For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing." And we respond with rejoicing, knowing that we are wrapped in God's salvation and righteousness. God is offering joy instead of mourning, praise instead of despair, rejoicing beyond our shame and disgrace. Because as this good news is proclaimed, we are invited in as partners with the Spirit in this work of restoration. Today's reading ends with an image, a seed planted in the darkness of the earth now, yet it will sprout and grow. A future hope that brings a present joy. Verse 11, "For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all nations." I'm reminded of the words, "They tried to bury us, but they didn't know we were seeds." What in us is falling to the ground and dying right now? What from us will be held in the earth, close to God's heart, waiting to burst forth and be reborn? We wait as seeds for restoration, not just a return to normal. I wonder what words Jesus would step up and read to us today. What is our contemporary message? Welcome to foreigners fleeing and waiting on our border. Freedom to those hiding from cultural shaming of their sexual identity. God's strong hand of justice, crushing racism and raising up those who have been hurt by the legacy of racial injustice in our land. Homes for the homeless. Security for those who don't have enough to eat and can't pay their bills. Calm and stability for those whose mental health dips and dives as their isolation grows. This good news is not just for us, the insider or the chosen ones, but for all people and all nations. Being partners in this work calls us to joy. Verse 10, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God." The Jesus we wait for in Advent will fulfill these promises. Our coming Savior brings hope, peace, and joy. May we find God's seeds of justice creatively planted in us in this time of waiting. We respond to these words in confession. I invite you to join me in the words printed in the order of service. Holy God, open our eyes to the presence of your Spirit upon us, within us, among us. For our apathy in the presence of oppression, forgive us. If we have contributed to the brokenheartedness of anyone, forgive us. For our participation in systems that enslave, forgive us. When we are deaf to the to your good news.
Have mercy and open our ears.
When our mouths remain too tightly closed,
loosen our lips with songs of praise.
Hear our prayer, O God, and forgive our sins.
Hold us in your mercy, now and forever. Amen.